I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I travel across this country. I consistently meet two types of people. One, those who are a little better off and tell me that, and I'll be very blunt about this, that if I don't win, they will leave the country. And they are very numerous.
Yes.
But you know I don't worry about them as much. You know who I worry about? The ones who can't leave. The ones who don't know, and if I can just be use very blunt language, who tell me I don't know what the hell I'm going to do. I have no idea how I'm going to pay my way.
That's right.
I met a waitress at a restaurant not long ago, and she came up to me and she grabbed me by the hand and she said, "You have to win." And I said, "Oh, thank you. I appreciate your support." She said, "No, no. It wasn't a compliment. You have to win.
You have to win." Much as Americans were telling Trump, "You have to win." That is a Canadian politician, been the leader of the Conservative Party of Canada since 2022, won his leadership on the first ballot. Pierre Poilievre, he might well be the next Canadian prime minister. Right now, Trudeau is in deep, hot water, and some are saying he needs to resign. His Labour Party got another hit yesterday. The country's finance minister, deputy prime minister, announced she was resigning amid disagreements with Trudeau on how to handle Donald Trump's threat to impose steep tariffs on Canada. He has wrecked the economy for Canada, trying to push it more into Marxism, just like Joe Biden and Harris were doing with us. And the people of Canada standing up, hopefully as strongly as we have in the U.S., to protect our democracy, our republic. They need to do the same. And you need to understand a little bit more about the relationships and the background and what Pierre Poilievre would do if he became prime minister. So welcome to Larry Connors Canada. Oh, I'm sorry. Larry Connors USA, second hour of two. We're here every Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. for you. And when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch the program easy and engaging if you're watching. You go to News Talk STL Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. Larry Connors USA Rumble or Facebook. And after we complete the programs, each and every time we put up podcast of audio and video available at News Talk Podcast Outlet, LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA Facebook, podcast outlets anywhere. Just simply search Larry Connors USA. I remind you also, we're in the course of the final days to give away a lot of gifts for you if you're looking for stocking stuffers. News Talk STL has several for you. Gift cards for Tropical World Pets on Watson in Crestwood, or the Woodstone, or rather Woodson Stonefire Pizza on West Clay and St. Charles, plus a lot of News Talk STL merchandise that you can't buy anywhere, but we'll give it to you. Well, how would you get that? Well, I'm glad you asked. Here's how you do it. You simply go to newstalkstl.com, newstalkstl.com, and enter and register and say you want to get some of this. And then when we have the drawing, hopefully we'll draw your name, and you can register as many times as you want, and all the family members can do the same. NewsTalkSTL.com. Good luck. Either way, you're going to have a bright, merry Christmas, because we have Trump coming into office in January 20. Now back to Canada. And again, Pierre Poilievre. The reason you need to know more about him is because if Trudeau does step aside early, it depends on how his party would then, if it could survive a vote in Parliament, which seems increasingly unlikely, according to experts in Canada. I'm not an expert on Canada and its parliament session. But Trudeau could stay as prime minister until there is an election for the prime minister. They have an election coming up in October for the House of Parliament. Trudeau has led his country for a decade, nearly a decade. But over recent years, has been more and more unpopular over a wide range of issues, part of them dealing with the high cost of living, rising inflation, and basically not holding the line to protect the values of Canada, giving in to the Liberal Party and those who want to see Canada become more Marxist. So once again, Pierre Poilievre, when he was addressing members of Parliament the other day and was telling the story about how a woman grabbed him and said, you must win. You must win. In other words, we need you to step in to change things. And then he gave another example.
Met another guy at the Labratt Brewery a few days ago, and you can watch the video of me talking with him. He walked up to me and he said, I have three jobs and I can't make it. We're renting. We have no hope. We've given up on ever owning a home. We're renting. We can barely make it. And he said to me, I feel ashamed when I talk to my kids because they ask me why I'm never around and why we can never have a house. And I feel like a failure. But he didn't fail. He has been
failed. That's right.
He has been robbed of the promise of Canada. It was a very simple promise that if you worked hard, you got a good life. Now, it wasn't fancy or extravagant, but you got a house with a yard where you could have kids playing safely, and you could have a nice dog that you could afford to feed along with the kids, and your kids could play safely in the streets. That was the promise. Now, politicians break promises all the time, but you know what was bad about this promise? This promise didn't belong to this prime minister. It wasn't his promise to break.
Yep.
It belonged to all of us.
Does he not sound like Donald Trump? Yes, he does. And part of Trump's statements lately is promise made, promise kept going forward with this administration once he's inaugurated and begins his second term. Up in Canada, they've obviously been watching, as has the rest of the world, what has been happening to our nation as we've been under the, quote, leadership of Joe Biden and group. And around the world, some of them have been taking advantage of it, and others are fearful what will happen to them and their country if the U.S. continues down that road. The same thing in Canada they're worried about, not only us, but in their own country. And once again, as you listen to the man who could be the next prime minister for Canada, Pierre Poilievre, you're going to hear echoes of Donald Trump.
A country where people are proud again to fly the flag, where they know the government is a servant and not a master, where they understand that every day the commons, this place, works for the common people, not for the ego of one man desperate to cling on to his job. We must remember that we are servants in this place. We have a job to do on behalf of the people who sent us here. Our personal dramas are not important. The dramas that should seize all of our concern and imagination are the daily dramas of the working women and men that build this country. We are in it for them. We're going to give them back control of their lives in the freest country on earth, Canada. Let's bring it home.
You know what? The only thing I'd object to is Canada being the most free country in the world. I would say they're not. The U.S. is, or will be, once again under Trump. But they were looking at the same road we were with another 4 years of Biden-Harris. Now, again, Trudeau could step down as a leader of the Liberal Party. That would force the party to choose an interim leader until their election's coming up in October, and then a chance to put in someone else permanently. the pressure is increasing on Trudeau. That's good, just as it should be. And Poilievre would make a much better partner with Trump and Canada and the U.S. than Trudeau. Back in the States, a battle over the budget with some interesting twists. I'll explain some of those. Plus, the cabinet nominees for Trump are looking for Senate confirmation. Some will be harder than others. But South Dakota Governor or GOP Senator Mike Rounds, I'm with Trump.
I think the idea of allowing...
Let me, before we do that, there was another bite that I had scheduled and I overlooked it. This is my fault. I played it the previous hour, and that's kind of why I got myself thrown off. There's something F. Poilievre had to say about the Biden administration trying to tell Israel what it should do with Iran. When Iran is considering attacking Iran, Israel is attacking Iran and its nuclear facilities. Here's what Poilievre said.
I think the idea of allowing a genocidal, theocratic, unstable dictatorship that is desperate to be to avoid being overthrown by its own people to develop nuclear weapons is about the most dangerous and irresponsible thing that the world could ever allow. And if Israel were to stop that genocidal, theocratic, unstable government from acquiring nuclear weapons, it would be a gift by the Jewish state to humanity.
It would be. And I'm sure Trump would agree with that. Now, as I'm mentioning earlier, Trump trying to push through his nominees for the Senate once they start going through confirmation hearings. But South Dakota Senator Mike Rounds says, I'm ready to vote for Trump's appointees.
Is there any nominee that you could see yourself voting against?
Not right now. In fact, look, here's the deal. I think most of us want to be a part of this team that puts things together so that the new administration can hit the ground running. And so we always start out with the president should get the benefit of the doubt on any of his nominees. I did that with Obama. I did that with Biden. I did that with President Trump the first time around. And so we always start by assuming the president should be able to choose who he wants with them.
And that would be a good idea. However, we have many that just claim to be Republicans but aren't, and they're already looking for ways to back out of some of the nominees that Trump wants just because, just to throw obstacles, throw a wrench into the works if they can. And in the meantime, we have Congress battling over another continuing resolution. Mike Johnson, according to Sean Fleetwood of the Federalist, says, Mike Johnson's latest spending scheme proves he's the Democrats' useful idiot. Last night, they released, just 3 days before supposedly the shutdown of the government again, a 1,500-page spending measure that has a lot of things in it they have not had a chance to read. Johnson told reporters, we have broken the Christmas omnibus last time around. I have no intention of doing it again, so there won't be one. That's what he said in September, but here we are again. When are we going to actually start controlling our budget? And within the budget is, of course, money that goes for public education, Title IX, things of that nature. Now, speaking of Title IX, Missouri Senator Hawley had the president of the NCAA in front of him questioning, how is it that you guys can continue to push women's sports and say you're for women as well being in sports, and yet you're subjecting them to transgender men in the locker room?
Your guidelines say that biological men can go in and use the women's locker rooms if they want to. What the women want has nothing to do with it. They're not mentioned in here at all, correct? Correct. It's right here. You just reaffirmed them in May of this year. I've got them. I'm reading them.
I believe our guidelines give people optionality with respect to how they choose to use their facilities.
What does that mean? Optionality. What it says is transgender student athletes will be able to use the locker room, shower, and toilet in accordance with their gender identity. That means men will be able to use the women's locker rooms. And as Riley Gaines and others have testified before this committee, that means if a man, a biological man, wants to use their locker room, they just have to accept it. Or else the women have to go somewhere else. They've got to go find an alternative. Why is that fair?
The whole question is, why is any of this fair? Senator Hawley continues.
That means if a man, a biological man, wants to use their locker room, they just have to accept it. Or else the women have to go somewhere else. They've got to go find an alternative. Why is that fair?
We told the local folks who hosted our tournaments they need to create accommodations for the people who are playing.
So it's the feds on the one hand, it's the locals on the other hand. The only person who doesn't seem to bear any responsibility in this is you and the NCAA, who are the governing body. And your testimony here today is you're not even subject to Title IX. Mr. Baker, I can't tell you how disappointed this makes me, but not just disappointed, frankly, infuriated for the student athletes who are suffering because of your policies, and you won't even defend them. You won't even take responsibility. It's outrageous.
It is outrageous. We will be putting a stop to a lot of this once Trump is in office. But in the meantime, in California, a district attorney is being forced into referring to alleged rapists by their preferred pronouns. A man who is being charged with raping a woman wants to be called she, her during his trial. And the prosecutor was going to do what would be just common sense. But since this guy identifies as a woman, facing two felony counts of rape, he gets a ruling from a women's liberation lawsuit, so now the district attorney must refer to this man as she, her, raping a woman. In the meantime, the Walt Disney Company removing a transgender storyline from its upcoming Pixar series, Win or Lose. It's going to be an animated kids show following the adventures of a co-ed middle school softball team. It has already been streaming on Disney. Was supposed to feature a transgender character, but now they're dropping that out, according to Hollywood Reporter. It's unclear if that transgender character is going to surface again, or if they've finally woken up and been woken by dealing with the woke, that they're not going to do that anymore and shove it into the kids' faces or watching Disney productions. Coming up, New York City Mayor Adams, anxious for Trump to be president, start deportations, and finding missing children. And we won the election, but we cannot let our guard down. My guest will explain. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wellington Environmental knows this is a rough time for many people, just struggling to make ends meet, and here come the holidays. Wellington is an advisor to the Salvation Army Gateway Citadel. They need more bell ringers, and Wellington has some spots in South County you could help fill. If you sign up six or more to ring a bell for at least an hour, Wellington Environmental will make a customized sign to sit on top of the red kettle. For free, put your company name, your team name, your family name, whatever you want. Call Wellington, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com does the same thing, WellingtonSTL.com. Ring a bell this season and help others. One of the greatest pleasures in life is giving. Giving something special to someone just because. Vincent's Jewelers can help you. And you should know that Vincent's has helped raise almost $2 million for local charities. Vincent's Jewelers, St. Louis's premier, full-service, locally owned jewelry store. Check vincentsjewelers.com every day for new items. vincentsjewelers.com. My only jeweler. vincentsjewelers.com. I want you to know that Meguiar Moving and Storage is silver certified, which means Meguiar has a quality reputation helping older adults move local or long distance. And something else to know, Josh Meguiar, president of Meguiar Moving and Storage, is the only certified moving consultant in Missouri. I'll tell you, once you met Josh, you're going to know your move will be easy. And I fully endorse Meguiar Moving and Storage. MeguiarMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Well, I started out with $1 million, gambled with a man and I won me another, bought me a gun and I robbed my brother. I'm bad, but I don't care, boys, I'm gonna be a millionaire.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. We have not made contact with our guest yet, but I'll give you a setup for what's happening with this guest. He's a spokesman for the film Beneath Sheep's Clothing. And actually, this is Trevor Loudon, who is an author and filmmaker from Christchurch, New Zealand. But for more than 30 years, he has researched radical left, Marxist, and terrorist movements and how they've had an influence on mainstream politics. And what he's recommending that basically you can consider you did win the election, but your work is not over because you have not defeated the enemy. The enemy being the leftists that are still in our country that are still looking for an opportunity to take advantage of you and whatever laws they can use for their benefit. I'd mentioned this previously, that we need to be aware of these folks that pose as they're like the rest of us, but they're really not. Wolves in sheep's clothing, as he refers to them, and as I have as well. In fact, his film, Beneath Sheep's Clothing, deals with Soviet history and modern America to understand the pattern of communist takeover of our culture. I think a lot of it you have seen and witnessed yourself. There are things we're doing in our school and our public education system now we did not do even 20 years ago, certainly not 50 years ago. And now it's just taken for granted. What we do have, to the extent that Donald Trump has made it clear, we're just going to disband the public education system if that's necessary. In other words, you better get your act together. All right, joining us now, and glad that we made contact, Trevor Loudon, glad to have you on board.
Okay, great. Great to be here. Thank you.
And again, I pointed out, and I will explain your accent again, you're from Christchurch, New Zealand. Thank you, sir. So,
yeah, southern accent.
Yeah, well, it's almost a Texas accent, not quite that far south. But in your movie, again, what you're pointing out is how we have basically allowed communism and Marxism to grab not just a foothold but a grip around our nation.
Well, that's exactly right. The movie Beneath Sheep's Clothing, which I'm in, is all about connecting the dots, because a lot of people see things like open borders and the destruction of the military and the attacks on the energy industry and the economy, et cetera, and the transgender movement, all of these diverse things. They don't connect them all as part of a revolutionary movement. This is all done by pro-Chinese communists and others to bring America down. It's all connected, and the movie really helps to connect those dots.
Part of the issue is how many Americans are duped into believing this is the right thing to do, or don't fully understand what they're doing as they advance these causes.
Well, exactly. You know, most people who march for Black Lives Matter had no idea that Black Lives Matter was a Chinese-backed communist organization. You know, most of the women who marched the Women's March back in 2017 with their funny hats on, a million women, probably how many of those realized the whole thing was organized by pro-Chinese communists? You know, I guarantee 98% of them had no idea.
And I'll bet there were no transgenders in that march at that point.
probably not. That's more of a recent phenomenon. But that's the thing, you know, like, people look at communism and they look back to the 70s and they think It's big marches in Red Square and rockets and hammers and sickle. You know, communism has morphed. Now communism is Black Lives Matter, the transgender movement, the woke sport, woke education, woke churches, open borders. You know, it's a morphing movement. And now it's all about race and gender and all this kind of, not just class like it used to be. And that's why people need to understand what this is.
And it's turning children against parents. It's turning children against their parents, turning them against their country, to hate their country. I have a survey here in front of me I want to share with you. There was a poll that was done reference the killing of the United Healthcare CEO. And this survey was done by Emerson College, found that 68% they surveyed found the actions of the man who shot and killed the CEO were unacceptable. But 24% of those 18-29 said it was somewhat acceptable. 17% said, oh, yeah, it's perfectly good for him to go and shoot the man in the back because he runs a healthcare company.
Yeah, and that's the kind of mentality that gave us the Weather Underground back in the 1970s.
Right.
And I expect to see a new wave of domestic terrorism springing up in the very near future. I think Mangione was the first of a few that we'll see springing forward, unfortunately.
Well, and many are claiming that they will be the next, saying that he was just the first. I mean, this is the very thing that we have the radical left progressives calling out all the time about gun control, but they've yet to say a word one about this shooting. Now, unfortunately, a couple of days ago at a Christian school, we had a shooter, and it was a girl using a revolver, and you got Kamala Harris calling out, we need more control on assault weapons. She didn't have an assault weapon.
What we need is more control of an education system that turns out poor, deluded little girls like that.
Yes.
That's what we need, you know. Most shooters are young men. Most of them are on Ritalin or some other some kind of drug. Most of them come from bad family backgrounds, as this young girl did. And most of them have no understanding of the history of the country or the greatness of this country. They think they're born into a cesspool, and it's perfectly justified to shoot their way out of it. It's not the guns that's the problem.
No,
it's the culture that produced this poor little girl who just had no idea what she was doing.
And your point about not having an understanding of what really is going on, that really links to the entire Democrat previous hold on black voters. And this time they rose up and said, we're not going to go back to your plantation you set up for us. We're going to think for ourselves, and we can think for ourselves.
Well, this is the reason the left hates Donald Trump so much, because the whole way of taking control of America is using race and gender to divide. And, you know, and lock, you know, everybody who's black has to vote a certain way. Everybody who's gay has to vote a certain way. Everybody who's Latino has to vote a certain way. And this was the Democrat mantra. This was a Democrat means of getting total control, and the Democrats are controlled by the communists. Well, Donald Trump told black people, no, you don't have to vote a certain way. You can vote for a better America.
Right.
You know, he is breaking down that Democrat monopoly on certain minorities, and that's why they hate him, because that's their only way of getting power now. And if he breaks that down, they'll be out of power for 50 years.
Well, you've got the race hustlers out there trying to rebuild that, because that's where they make their money. You've got those climate alarmists trying to rebuild their base. You've got the transgender push underway. There's so many attacks upon our country, our culture, our kids. We need to make sure, as you point out, we're not taking sheeps in that are really wolves.
Well, that's right, and we've got, you know, like Donald Trump gave us some breathing space, but that might only last for 2 years. So while we did the move, see, millions of people during COVID sat at home reading their kids' school textbooks, and they were horrified. Then they saw Black Lives Matter, a Chinese back America with no punishment, Then they saw elections stolen on a mass scale. And millions of Americans finally realized they could lose this country. Now, the wool beneath sheep's clothing connects the dots, makes this into an understandable whole, and gives a pathway forward. Because we got to use this opportunity. Like, as soon as the deportations start, you can imagine how the left is going to go absolutely crazy on this country. And they're going to do everything they can to take back the House in 2024 or 26,
right,
which will blunt the Trump agenda and then take back the White House in 2026. And we're all back to square one, or even worse. So this is a critical time. This is absolute critical God-given opportunity to push this revolution back.
Not a time to sit on your laurels. So how do folks see the film Beneath Sheep's Clothing? How do they get access to that?
They just go to beneathsheepsclothing.movie, beneathsheepsclothing.movie. You can see I'm in it, Alex Newman's in it, James Lindsay, many other people are in it. It's a powerful movie, and you can go to beneathsheepsclothing.movie and either pay-per-view it or get a hard copy, whichever you wish.
All right. Well, again, thank you very much for your time. And ringing the alarm bell to remind us we're not locked in yet. But I do appreciate it, sir.
No. Yeah, well, I appreciate your time and appreciate your viewers. So thank you, your listeners. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Trevor Loudon. Again, the film, beneathsheepsclothing.com, and you'll find it. Coming up, the left is crying out about Joe Biden's pardons. Oh, you want to hear the rest of this story? Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Question: are you looking to unlock the full potential of artificial intelligence for your business? I want you to meet my friends at PRI Global. Named by the St. Louis Business Journal as a leading IT consulting firm. 25 years helping local and worldwide companies. PRI Global has a free survey to determine where your company stands in your AI journey. You simply go to priglobal.ai. priglobal.ai. And I also have a phone number, so get ready to copy that number. And I'll remind you that PRI Global has its own AI lab, creating, adapting, developing, pushing the boundaries for what AI can do for you. Here's the number, 636-689-0545. 636-689-0545. Or visit priglobal.ai. priglobal.ai. Here's great news. Napoli Kirkwood is now open. So that means fine dining right in the heart of Kirkwood. So you have the original Cafe Napoli in downtown Clayton, Napoli 2, Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C, plus Napoli Brothers Pasta and Pizza in the Chesterfield Valley. All of those locations, and now adding Napoli Kirkwood. What a great place to dine. Napoli Kirkwood, now open. Renewal by Anderson sponsoring this hour of Larry Connors USA. And let's be honest, most window companies are pushing cheap vinyl windows, adding bells and whistles to make them sound great, but renewal windows are twice as strong. You do not want to go cheap when you can go with quality and get the nation's best warranty. Check the website, rbastl.com, or dial #250, #250, and say windows.
This is News Talk STL.
And I know she'll be the death of me. At least we'll both be numb. And she'll always get the best of me. The worst is yet to come. All the misery was necessary. When what deep in love, yes, I know.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We can't find them.
We don't know if they're doing child labor. We don't know if they're doing sex crimes. We don't know if they're being exploited. 500,000 children. There's a level of hypocrisy that everyone that states they want to protect everyone but innocent individuals who are victims of crimes and children. I want to support and protect children and innocent people that are victims of crime. And those who don't understand that, it's not up to me to try to convince them. I know what my job is, my goal is, and I was clear of that while running and when I became mayor.
That is New York City Mayor Adams. He cannot wait for the mass deportations to begin. It's an estimated 750,000, and that's just an estimation, of illegals in New York State. Many of them may be in New York City. And among them, untold thousands, tens of thousands of children that were trafficked into our nation. The estimates have been on the side of around 300,000 plus children brought in for whatever purpose. Now, supposedly, they were coming to join relatives they had here in the States. And 30,000 of them, based on that premise, as they were among the first wave of children to come across, sometimes just showing up at the border, a four-year-old girl, just there one day, with a note pinned to her, in case she can't speak English, saying, call this number. This is my uncle's niece, or something of that nature. And that's what Border Patrol did. Or they turned her over to the NOG, the NGOs, non-government organizations, which are supposed to watch out and protect the children and all illegals, and they arrange for transportation at your expense to get the child to the person that answered the phone. And there is no vetting. There is no knowledge of who that person is. So we have those 30,000 children we know are missing because they did not show up for their court dates. You got hundreds of thousands or more. If they're still alive, what kind of condition are they in? Are they being used for child labor, sex trafficking, sold into pedophile dens? I told you yesterday there are those on the left who think pedophiles are just normal people with an affinity for, with an attraction, I should say, to minors. No, that's a pedophile, and that's a criminal act. And then, of course, we have the gangs that have come across the border. Again, this is all thanks to the open border policy of the Biden-Harris administration. And Fox News reports how the gang issue ramped up again in the Colorado area.
Okay, Aurora, Colorado now. This is a live look. Police have now detained 14 people in reported armed home invasion. That's the same apartment complex where a lot of people were complaining about the armed Venezuelan gang members roaming the halls. Reports indicate that investigators said that several suspects entered the apartment and had two people inside. The suspects then reportedly moved the victims to another apartment complex, or rather another unit on the property where police said they were found threatened and bound. An adult man sustained a non-life-threatening stab wound. At the moment, police say it's unclear if the suspects are connected to the Venezuelan gang Tren de Aragua, but we'll get a live report in Colorado.
We don't know. Well, we probably are very sure they're connected. But, of course, if they get arrested, what's going to happen to them? Under the current administration, they'll be placed in jail, maybe briefly, freed, even if ICE says hold them till we get there, and let go. They will be among those that will be rounded up. Tom Holman, the border czar for Biden, has said ground zero will be Chicago, and we'll also be looking into all the prisons that are currently holding illegals. And, of course, New York City, a big target. And they'll be rounding them up and deporting them. And he says the countries we send them back to, the countries where they originated, they will take them. If they refuse to take them, we will hit them with high tariffs and basically shut down their economy. Trump knows how to use the tariff and the economy issue as a whip against some that need to be backed into a corner. Of course, you have a Joe Biden that just issues 1,500 pardons and 40 commutations. Just boom, just like that. You thought you on the right were upset with it? Virginia Democrats are torching Biden's choice of last-minute clemency recipients. They said, we would expect that from Donald Trump, not you. It is possible, may I add this, it is possible that he signed the pardon releases with his signature on one page, not knowing what was behind that page and everything else that went with it. It's possible. But a state lawmaker in West Virginia wrote, and he's a Democrat, this is public corruption. It's a betrayal of trust. When officials abuse the power of their office for personal gain, they not only gain and harm the communities they're supposed to serve, but they erode faith in our government institutions. And now you turn around and let a lot of them out who were convicted of public corruption. And one of them is actually from Illinois. I mentioned this yesterday. This is in Dixville, Illinois. I should say Dixon, Illinois. She is now 71 years old. But over 22 years, serving as the comptroller for Dixon, Illinois, this woman stole, again, over 22 years, $54 million. She ended up being caught and pled guilty to the crime in 2012, and then she got released the other day. Well, obviously, in Dixon, they're not happy to see her go free, basically scot-free. She was sentenced to 22 years, went to jail 2013, and now she's out again. The one of those watching over this case, the Democrats again pointing out Alla Dixon, saying, we're shocked and we're outraged. She violated our trust. She shocked the conscience of our nation, of our city and our people. And now what Biden has done is a complete betrayal by the federal criminal justice system. That's the Dixon city manager. Mr. City Manager, I would correct you a little bit to say it's a betrayal by Joe Biden and the criminal justice system. They talk about how these people were struggling to live paycheck to paycheck. The FBI, by the way, classifies her crime. Her crime, and this is pretty amazing, as I said, $52 million taken as her position of controller for Dixon, Illinois, over 22 years. $54 million. The FBI is now stating it is the largest theft of public funds in U.S. history. You don't turn someone else, someone like that, loose after 7 years of a 22-year sentence. Granted, the woman is 71 years old, but she knew what she was doing all those 20 years. But again, for the FBI to say this might well be the largest theft of public funds in U.S. history. And Joe Biden, with a swipe of his pen, turned her loose. When Hillary Clinton was expected to win against Trump in 2016, she had prepared a victory speech. She never got to deliver it to her audience that was so anxious to hear her, the networks and her crowd. In fact, she didn't even show up for those who gathered to hear her in person. She sent someone out to deliver the message. It's a late night. We're still counting. We'll review it tomorrow. When they knew at that point they'd already lost. But she never got to deliver her speech, but she has been reading it to anyone who will listen.
America is the greatest country in the world.
Hillary Clinton chokes up as she finally reads the victory speech she never got to give.
Your daughter will grow up and become the president of the United States. We will make America even greater than it has ever been for each and every one of us. Thank you. God bless you. And may God bless America.
And I think God did bless America by the fact she did not get in. Now, you know on this program, there are no sacred cows. And I try to give you facts on both sides of the case. And it angers some of you. Because you say, Larry, you're spewing their leftist propaganda in our face. No, I'm giving you the facts of something. Let me share this with you very quickly. AOC was looking to become the ranking member of the House Oversight Committee. And in fact, James Comer, who represents the Republican side as chair, co-chair for the House Oversight Committee, said, I think she'd be pretty good. He was endorsing her, saying, I think she'd be great, be better than what they've been having. That was referenced Jamie Raskin. And Raskin's out. Now they want to put someone else in. Even with the Republicans saying, I would support AOC getting that position, she didn't get it. She got soundly beat by a vote of 131-84 on the House floor. They elected a man who is battling cancer. So I don't know how long Jerry Connolly will serve anyway. But there's also the fact that Pelosi, even though she's hospitalized in Belgium for a hip fracture or something of that nature, she was pulling the strings and saying, we don't want AOC to grab the reins of the House Oversight Committee. So her own party was working against her. I wonder what AOC thinks about that now. And in the meantime, we have Rand Paul calling out Republican House Speaker Mike Johnson, pushing forward this omnibus bill that Rand Paul says is full of pork. This 1,400 page bill they're trying to shove through in the last 3 days before the supposed shutdown of the government. That Mike Johnson said, we will not have an omnibus bill this coming Christmas. He said that last Christmas. We're back to the same page again now. Rand Paul is saying, Mike Johnson is a, quote, and I'm quoting, weak, weak man. The bill released last night has something like, obviously, that's going to create more debt. According to the House Freedom Caucus, $100+ billion in unpaid for spending negotiated behind closed doors. Going to take at least 72 hours to fully read it. A vote on the DOGE Act to cut non-defense spending 13% to pre-COVID 2019 levels is part of it, from what we've seen of the basics of it. And keep in mind, we are not supposed to have a bill like this shoved into the face of Congress at the last minute. And an amendment to stop Biden's ongoing fire sale of the border wall construction materials should also be under that. But Rand Paul saying Mike Johnson is failing. He is not the first Republican to call out Mike Johnson. And again, with the House Freedom Caucus saying we need more than 72 hours to read it. We need to cut non-defense spending to 13% to pre-COVID 2019 levels while this is building more money in there. And we're not doing anything to stop Biden from selling the border wall, construction materials. Who's your friend? Who's someone you can count on? It is not necessarily someone who has an R behind their name. Going down this road again is not going to do a thing to take care of this deficit we're dealing with. It's just going to make it bigger. Trump cannot get into office soon enough. The only positive thing from Republicans is that they did decide that Liz Cheney should be prosecuted for what happened during the January 6th event in the investigation. She was supposedly coaching a witness as to what she should say or not say. And for that, the Republicans want her investigated. And she will be. But whether anything comes of it is yet to be seen. At the same time, we have members of Congress pushing forward to release everything they have on Gates. Anything about might be dealing with his, quote, affairs with women that they had already investigated. But no criminal charges were ever pressed. But there's some that think, again, that Matt Gaetz should be hung out to dry. This is an underlying effort to damage the Trump administration. Keep that in mind. We'll look at it in more detail later. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.